we love doing the show more when the Eagles win. Makes it more fun, gives us more hope for glory, all that good stuff. But obviously, we got to cover it when they lose as well. And that's what we're doing today. Eagles 2-2 in the season, a very uninspiring September. Seth Joyner with us every single Monday at this time. Or put another way, with us the day after an Eagles game every time. They play a Monday night. Seth's with us on Tuesday. They play on Sunday. Seth is typically with us Monday in the 9 o'clock hour. And brought to us by Bradford White Water Heaters. How you heat your water, it matters. So whether it's a tank or tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit BradfordWhite.com. We welcome in one of the Eagles' great players of all time, Mr. Seth Joyner. Good morning, Seth. Good
morning, gents.
So, the game, your reaction, what stood out to you, Seth?
Nothing stood out.
That's one way to do it.
All right, thanks for coming on, Seth. We'll talk to you next week.
See you in 2 weeks.
So, how bad is it, Seth?
You know, it's pretty bad. We're only four games into, you know, a 17-game schedule. So it's a little, it's difficult for me to just, you know, talk about how bad things really are because there's always a chance that they can turn it around. But, you know, defensively, you kind of expect the inconsistencies, a good week, a bad week, a good week, a bad week. Offensively, you know, they're just too talented, and I don't care that, you know, your two best wide receivers and your starting right tackle. You dominated what was supposed to be the best team in the National Football League last week, and you go down and you completely lay an egg against a team that, you know, this had your number, but the way they played last week and the quarterback's been sacked 12 times in three games and, you know, you go down there and you just lay an egg. And I don't want to hear about the weather because everybody had to play in it. It just, you know, it goes on and on. It's just, it's a disappointing outing because I kind of felt like last week would be a launching point for this team, particularly on the defensive side, and they looked worse yesterday than they looked any other week of the season. And I'm really starting to become concerned about Jalen. And, you guys know that I've been one of his biggest proponents.
Yep.
And one of his biggest backers. I'm starting to get to the point where I'm a little concerned.
What's tipping you there in recent weeks that gets you more concerned than you had been?
Well, his news conference yesterday, I gotta be better. I heard that crap before. I heard that before, not too long ago. You know, at some point you have to stop saying it and you have to start doing it. It has to become very apparent to everybody that the switch comes on and the change is made. So I'm starting to become concerned about him, and I'm also concerned about Kellen Moore because you look at Baker Mayfield, and I watching that game yesterday, that coaching staff did a very, very smart thing with Baker. They looked over the last couple of weeks, and they realized that, you know, they were having protection problems. They looked at how the Eagles like to play defense, and they devised a game plan. There was this chess match that's going on the entire game. Give them a light box, they run the ball. You know, stack the box, they throw the ball. Corners off, take what the defense is given. Corners up, you know, we're going to try you down the field. We're going to, you know.
Isn't that just good offense? Yeah. I mean, isn't that the way you're supposed to run offense, Seth?
John, I feel your frustration because the question to me is, where the hell is that philosophy on our side of the ball?
You're using motion, Baker Mayfield, to get a better feel for what the coverage is, and you know right away where you're going with the football. Why doesn't Jalen have that advantage? Why don't we utilize that?
I think the overall organizational philosophy is explosive plays. I was listening. I was up late last night. Couldn't sleep. So I was watching a little bit of a rerun. You know, Jaws was talking about they need to push the ball down the field and need to be more explosive. That they can design plays to be more explosive. I don't believe that. I think that
against the blitz?
Listen, I'm just
so the problem. Like what we're talking about here is yesterday we knew the blitz was coming, and so the hot route was thrown. But Jalen, having thrown the hot route, it's only 5 yards. It was 3rd and 10. Tampa is happy to give us that, but our offense didn't devise ways to take more than that 5 yards against the blitz.
I think the philosophy is what the problem is, because I think that. And nobody's going to want to hear this with a quarterback that you're paying $50 million a year. But they need to simplify the game for him, at least until he gets his confidence going, until you can get to some rhythm. You know, the short passing game, run the ball, a good mix. Stop trying to push the ball down the field. Just, you know, 5 yards on first down. Raise up like everybody else. Everybody else is raising up and sees the corners 10 yards off the ball, and they're happy to take the 5 yards
and
move the ball down the field however long it takes them to get there. But we always get to a point, we'll do that for a couple of plays, and then all of a sudden we want to take a shot down the field. Now we've wasted a down. And the one thing that they couldn't do yesterday is get behind the sticks, and they stayed behind the sticks all day long. If you get the second and long, definitely when you get the third and long against Todd Bowles, you know he's coming. And he's coming with some things with all these replacements that you have on the offensive line that's going to confuse you and confuse your quarterback.
Yeah, I'll say this, Seth. They definitely, when A.J. and Devontae are out, and hopefully that is no longer, we'll see, in 2 weeks. But when those guys are out, they definitely need to run the ball more. I mean, that to me is malpractice, to act like you're just going to run the same ratio of passing and running plays when you don't have two star receivers. That's just dumb.
Oh, listen, I get it.
Help your quarterback out. Look, I'm down on Jalen, but help him out. I mean, I remember the year, and Andy's a great coach, but I remember the year in 05 when Donovan had the core muscle injury in the first month of the season. First month, core muscle injury. And if you go back and look at the first 8 games, Andy was calling 80% pass plays. 80. With a star quarterback in his prime. It's only a matter of time until his groin was going to get completely ripped up as it was in that play versus Dallas. Like, help your quarterback out a little bit.
Well, but that's the point that I'm making. Your offense is struggling, and you keep banging your head against the wall trying to do the same thing. You did it last week. You gave Saquon 5 touches in the first half last week before you realized, hey, we got to get this guy going. He's an integral part of what we do. You did the same thing this week. They stopped him, you know, a couple of times in the first two series, and you got away from him. You put the ball in Jalen's hand with all of these second-tier, third-tier wide receivers, and you did not create, because Tampa plays a lot of zone too. They don't come out and just play strictly man to man. Even in their blitz schemes, they play a lot of zone behind it. So you mean to tell me that when they're sending the extra guys, that there's not some voids within that zone where you can like sit wide receivers down and take the 5 yards, hurry up and get the ball out of your quarterback's hand? Do you realize there was a point in time in this season, and I kind of relished it going into this game yesterday, but I think after week two, Jalen Hurts, his rating against the blitz was 158.3. He was tied for first with Andy Dalton, of all people, against the blitz. Now,
that was encouraging.
It was very encouraging.
Yeah, it was.
And that was week two, you said?
Yes.
And yeah, it felt like he had taken a major step, but then
I came into this game. I talked about it on our pregame show yesterday. I said I relished the fact that Todd Bowles was going to come after him, the way that he's played against.
That's the way it should be.
But he got consumed yesterday, because the minute you get behind, now you're behind the eight ball. You have to throw the ball, you know. So it was a confluence of things, the coaching, the play of the players, the execution of what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, I'm not sure we've got this Jekyll Hyde thing going on. What do we want to be? But at the end of the day, I'm sick of this dad defense.
What does that mean?
Dad?
The dumbass defense. It's what I'm sick of.
Yeah.
Okay? You can't play your cornerbacks 10 yards off the ball.
Was that because they were exhausted and they didn't feel like they could get up there and contend?
I get it that Mike Evans is a great wide receiver. I get it that, you know, Godwin, you know, underneath is a problem. But, John, you can't go into a game expressing that much fear in your opponent because your opponent begins to see it. Mm-hmm. When you're playing your cornerbacks 10 yards off the ball, there's not a quarterback in the National Football League that's not going to just raise up and take it.
Seth, let me ask you a question. We're going to get to a lot of calls as well. Seth fielding phone calls with us this hour. We'll get to that shortly. Let me just ask you this question about the defense. So, to me, you got three components with the defense. You got Howie's role in picking players. Mm-hmm. You got the players themselves. And then you've got Fangio's role in deploying them. All right. So I want to talk about Howie for a second, because we can talk scheme all we want, and it's a worthy conversation. But I would contend there are only four players on this defense who actually deserve to be NFL starters. And it's the two cornerbacks. It's Jalen Carter and it's Gardner Johnson, who's teetering, but like, I'm not going to kick him off a starting team. Am I wrong? Is it only four? Like, no. Is Reed Blankenship really a starting safety? Is N'Kobe Dean really a starting linebacker?
Well, don't get me started on him. You go to my Twitter feed. You'll understand how I feel about him.
What that's about where... Zach Bond?
No, listen, they've got some players. You know what the Eagles' problem is, Joe? Their problem is Howie has not constructed a defense that has any playmakers on it. None. Think about it. Who makes a play? And I would tell you.
Slay is supposed to.
To be Jalen Carter and Slay.
No, don't talk to me about Slay. Don't talk to me about Slay. Okay?
Uh-oh.
Do not talk to me about
You're
Slay.
You're mad at Slay?
Go ahead.
Come on, man. You guys see it. Ray Charles and Jose Feliciano can see it. Okay? You can see it.
What's the issue? Go ahead. What is the issue with Slay?
Listen. So I'm gonna defend him a little bit, and then I'm going to be just straight up honest about it.
Yep.
He's a man coverage corner. He's always been a man coverage corner. You signed him and you brought him here and you put him in a zone scheme. Then you play him 10 yards off the ball. And when you play your cornerbacks 10 yards off the ball, and as a defensive coordinator, you send the message to your players that we're trying to fight against, we're going to prevent the explosive play, the deep ball. Well, then you put into them this passive posture that begins to seep into who they are, because you have to be an aggressive player on the defensive side of the ball. You look at the good defenses that pressure, that get up and challenge people at the line of scrimmage, okay? They are postured in that way. Like, I'm here to take your freaking head off. Mm-hmm. That's the posture that you see. That's not what you see when you look at our defense and our cornerbacks are 8, 9, 10 yards off the ball. You know, it's a passive posture. Now, what you can do at all times, and I used to teach this, you know, to my little peewee kids. There are players that are going to be better than you, bigger, faster, stronger. Some even smarter. But the one thing we all got to give in abundance is effort. Don't ever let me have to coach you about effort. You're here. You practice. We run. You hurt. You the whole thing. If you're here because you want to be here, then give the effort.
You think Slay's not picking?
Not giving the effort at all. I watch him play, and he doesn't want to tackle anybody. You can come to me. You can come at me on Twitter all you want, Darius Slay, but I watch you play, and you want no action whatsoever. If you can't push a guy out of bounds or you can't trip him up, you don't want any part of that. And you can't play football defensively and be successful that way. Okay? So I'm done with that. That's just a fact.
And he's one of their better players.
Supposed to be.
It's brutal. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Seth Joyner in studio with us, as he is every Monday at this time. Dan in Philadelphia right now. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, crew. How are we today?
I mean, you know.
I don't usually call after an Eagles game because my emotions are high. But I'm having deja vu to 2018-2019.
Carson stinks!
Right. The only difference is I'm not calling in and helping John defend Carson Wentz. I'm not going to call in and help John defend Jalen Hurts this time. Joe, I think you're 100% right. John, you're my boy, but it's not the coach's fault. It's not the offense fault. It's Jalen Hurts.
It is Jalen Hurts.
Right,
the problem that I have is that everyone seems to think he can't improve from here.
Because you and I did this with Carson Wentz for almost 3 years. saying that he's going to improve, that it's this person.
Jalen Hurts is not Carson Wentz.
He seemingly is. I'm just telling you, John, come over to this side sooner than later. I mean, we wasted a lot of our time a couple years ago arguing about how good Carson is and all his excuses of why he isn't playing well. Unfortunately, I don't want to say it, but I think it's Jalen Hurts. And history tells us, and believe me, I hate saying this more than anything, is Joe's right. Joe was right about Carson Wentz, and unfortunately, I think he's right about Jalen Hurts at this point.
I think it's impossible to say that. It's impossible to say this 26-year-old quarterback is what he will always be.
We don't know the ultimate outcome yet, but I tend to think in time I'll be proven right. I think that process has begun. Look, I don't want to be right, but
what
I just...
process? His process of...
No, the process of the next 2 to 3 years in pro football, whether he's here or elsewhere. Like, let me make this... I thought about this last night.
This is incomprehensible.
Here's what I thought of last night. James, tell me if this resonates with you. I'm curious. I thought last night, how can I sum up how I feel about Jalen right now? Here's where I'm at on Jalen. If Jalen Hurts was the quarterback on the other team against the Eagles, I'd have no fear right now. That's where I'm at on Jalen Hurts. Is that reasonable?
Yeah, I feel the same way going up against
Jalen. I would look forward to the Eagles' defense being able to play against Jalen Hurts because I think they would cause some turnovers and confusion. Jalen would make a couple nice plays because he does that. It was a very nice touchdown pass yesterday. Rolling to his right, bought some time, waited for the receiver to sit it down. That was a good play. But you need more good plays to be a good player. And I just don't think he's a good player anymore. Seth, your thoughts?
Anymore.
Listen, I think it's a confluence of a couple of different things. I think it's the play calling. I think it's what he's being asked to do. And I think it's, you know, in his mind, what he really wants to do. There are some elemental differences when you begin to make the comparison between what happened with Carson and Jalen Hurts.
Carson Wentz is horrible.
I think that at the end of the day, as talented as Carson was, Carson was a psychological misfit, if you will.
He was broken. He was broken mentally.
And I'm not going to say that. I would never say that about Jalen Hurts. I just won't, because you know I see the leadership, I see the work ethic, and I see their accountability at the podium.
So now, is it ridiculous that they say a 26-year-old quarterback is now?
No, listen,
as good as he will be?
The thing is, every single every single quarterback goes through these periods. Every one of them.
Yes.
Every one of them. We just seen Joe Burrow for the first time in almost, a year and a half, 2 years, have a good game yesterday.
Yeah.
For the first time.
And that was,
you know, and I can promise
you. The fourth game.
And I can promise you that nobody in Cincinnati is talking about we need to get rid of Joe Burrow. See, this is the lunacy of what we do. Now, we can talk about the concerns, but the thought that, you know, he can't turn it around or he can't be what he once was, that's ridiculous.
I'm not saying he can't. I'm saying it's in my opinion, it is unlikely that he will improve enough to justify being the long-term quarterback of the Eagles.
Sometimes
he's just not good enough.
I think everyone feels, most people feel that way, John.
Sometimes it's not, of course they feel that way. Because they're looking at a sample size. You're looking at a sample size of a team collapsing last year, which I wouldn't say that was Jalen's fault that the team collapsed.
A lot of it was.
You can attribute the turnovers.
Well, it was a lot of different things, but he was a big part of it.
I understand that. But just like Jaws always says, the quarterback gets too much credit when things go right, and they take too much of the heat when things go sideways. And that's true. It's 100% true. But I think at the end of the day, we're looking at a small sample size. We're looking at 11 games. Jalen Hurts is 3-8. This football team is 3-8 over the last 11 games. That's what's got us worried. Nobody was saying all of this, you know, when he was in the run for the 2022 MVP. Nobody was saying this, even though we could see the fissures and the fractures beginning to happen when this team was 10-1 last year. This whole narrative we're talking about over 11-game sample size. And we're talking about this guy can't be the quarterback, and he can't get better, and they can't turn it around based on a 3-8 record. That is absolute insanity. What are you guys saying? Are you saying Joe? Are you saying
James?
James? Are you saying the rest of you out there that are gonging this gong that we need to go and get another quarterback? Is that what you're saying? Because of Joe, if that's what you're saying, the only way you're going to get a quarterback that's worth his salt to be able to take this team where it wants to go is to go and draft one. And guess what? Look at all the young quarterbacks with the exception of Jaden Daniels right now, and there will come a point in time where he goes backwards too. It's inevitable.
Yeah. Okay? Here's what I'm saying.
Is that what you want?
I'll answer your question. Here's what I'm saying. I don't think Jalen is a good NFL quarterback. I don't think he will be the long-term quarterback of the Eagles. And one way or another, in the next year or two, I think they will need to find a new quarterback. And I know, and here's my biggest thing. Here's my biggest thing. I know that's not easy, and it scares the hell out of me. Because if you don't have a guy, you got a problem.
Hold on. John, why
would,
is
I'd
it? Why?
I would rather ride it out with Jalen.
Me too.
Okay?
Me too.
Get it right. Than to go through that, because if you want to go through that, guess what? We will spend.
I don't want to. No, there's a difference between wanting to and feeling like you need to.
But
even if you do, you're looking at 3 to 4 years of mediocrity.
I'm well aware.
And all of this talent that's been amassed on the offensive side of the ball will go for naught.
I don't disagree with you. That's a huge problem.
Be careful what you ask for.
The two guys in this room who played and really had been out there when the bullets were flying.
Carson Wentz is horrible.
This guy,
who was right 5 years ago,
John? Yeah, you're wrong about Carson, man.
John,
who cares?
You told me Devin White was going
to
be a great player for the Eagles.
You just said what you said.
Devin White's reactivated every game. You told me Johnny Wilson was going to be good. He never catches a ball.
So what? That's a different scenario.
So I don't care that you played pro football 20 years ago. I mean, I do, but not enough to value your opinion above mine. I don't. I just don't.
You should.
I don't.
The fact that we play doesn't matter.
I mean, I love you,
matter.
But you were
wrong, John.
You're not, like, infallible because you played football.
Not.
You've been wrong a lot. Like, you got to accept that.
Of course.
Okay, well, that's
but
all.
But what we're talking about is a quarterback developing.
Get personal here. Hold on. We need some moderation here. we need some moderation here. Okay?
Oh, hold on. By the way, hold on. No, not now. Is it too early? Is that too early for that? No.
Okay. So, to be honest here, I'm the only one that's been right for the last 3, 4, 5 years. I called Carson way before anybody else.
Everybody, no.
I remember in week four
of
we were doing of that last year.
Oh man, I was there. Before that, but go ahead.
No,
you're saying week four of 2020?
No,
Seltzer. He's like 2 years behind me. But okay, go ahead.
2 years behind you. 2 years behind you, the Eagles are coming off a Super Bowl win.
I knew in 2018 there was a problem, and for sure in 2019,
I knew it was a problem the minute that Nick Foles won the MVP, because what undid Carson Wentz was nothing more than the ghost of Nick Foles.
That was part of it, not all of it.
No,
he just wasn't good at reading defenses. He just wouldn't check the ball down.
How do you know, man?
How do I know? I saw the Eagles for 4 or 5 years with him. He would never throw the ball as a check down. That's how I know. I watched the games.